PBS is launching a new series called The Great American Read later this month. The series celebrates the power of reading while focusing on America's 100 favorite novels. That list came from a poll of over 7,000 people from around the country. Only fiction was included, and authors were limited to one title or series on the list. The results include everything from classics like Wuthering Heights and Little Women to more recent favorites like Twilight and Jurassic Park. We want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. What is your favorite novel? What book do you find yourself going back to and rereading? What makes it special? If there were a list of your 100 favorite books, would it be filled with big-name classics, science fiction, romance, thrillers, mix of everything? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Jonathan Segura is executive editor of Publishers Weekly and the author of the novel Occupational Hazards. His writing has appeared in GQ and Rolling Stone, the Paris Review Daily, and elsewhere. Johnny, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. A pleasure to be here.
Well, did you scroll through the list and spot some of your favorites on it?
You know, I got to say, not a lot of my personal favorites were on there. You know, I don't know if that says more about me or more about America, I suppose.
Well, what I think it may say, and I'm in the same boat, I think it says that novels are really personal, how we're going to react to them. And yeah, a lot of people may like the same things, but what I like might not be what you like.
Absolutely, absolutely. And one of the things that was really striking to me about the list is how sort of, I guess for lack of a better word, democratic it is, in that it's not all, you know, high art fiction. It's really a mix of popular fiction, of classics, of genres. There's science fiction on there. There's all sorts of books on there that I was really surprised to see, which is, you know, it's great. I mean, this is like a really, you know, wide, diverse reflection of, you know, a huge country and what people are reading and what they love to read.
And, the list was billed at one point as, like, America's most loved novels. And I look and see, like, novels like 1984 or The Invisible Man, you know, important novels, really good novels. I don't feel like that loved, comforting feeling reading either of those, though. There's a lot of different ways to define what a good novel is or even what a novel we like is going to be.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, like to that end, you know, I mean, one of the books on here is you know, a book probably everybody read at some point. You know, it was assigned reading in either junior high or high school. You know, Where the Red Fern Grows. You know, a book that will absolutely make any, you know, sentient human being cry by the end. You know, sometimes you need a good cry, I guess, and that one will deliver. It is really surprising that, you know, on the same list as that, there's Jane Eyre, you know?
Mm-hmm. And from your vantage point at Publishers Weekly, this project from PBS, I think is designed to kind of boost our love of reading. In a high-tech age, are we still big readers? Do we still love our books, whether we're reading them on paper or on a screen?
Yeah, I think without question. You know, it's, you know, we live in a time that is so driven by story and narrative, and whether you get that from you know, fiction or nonfiction or just, you know, the way a lot of you know, news is reported these days, things are a lot more narrative driven right now. And I think that's, you know, a sign that people, you know, obviously storytelling is such a fundamental part of humanity. And you know, I don't think that's going away. I think probably obviously the distribution methods are changing, and where people read, whether it's on a Kindle or on a you know, tablet, or with a, you know, dog-eared chewed up old paperback. You know, I mean, I think the delivery method isn't as important as the fact that people are still reading and still, you know, loving their books.
One conflict I have sometimes, Johnny, and you can let me know if you're in the same boat. There's, you know, there's books I like. There's books that I'm going to have fun with and read. There's kind of that list of should reads over the years, whether they're old classics or new important novels. And sometimes when I get that mentality that, oh, I'm supposed to read this and appreciate it, that I don't know, it triggers some rebel part in my brain, and I push back on that. Do you ever contend with that?
Daily, my friend. Let me tell you, you know, I'll confess to you now, you know, one of the books on the PBS list is one of those for me. Moby Dick, never made it through.
Me neither.
I know I should. I need to read Moby Dick. I think I should need to read Moby Dick. never done it. I've plowed like, you know, a dozen or so pages into that thing. One day I'll come back at it.
You know, and kind of in
but there's no shame in it though either, I think. You know, there's so many books out there. If it's not doing it for you, put it down, pick up something else.
Exactly. And kind of on the other end of the spectrum, Stephen King is on there with The Stand, hugely popular writer. I never had a Stephen King reading phase. I've read short stories and that's about it. And I feel a little guilty. Like, people love him. People I know and respect love Stephen King, and I haven't really read anything by him. Do you have authors in that sort of category?
You know, sort of, I guess. I have not dipped into any of the Knausgård novels, which are, you know, have a huge cult following. I think they're probably, you can't really call it cult anymore. It's just a giant following. he's written a series of novels and arguably novels, or whether they're not fiction or not. You know, it's part of the charm of them and their attraction. You know, and the hype and the adoration of these books around the author's biggest fans is sort of daunting to even begin to dip your toe into it. Given, you know, what scene you're walking into, sort of cold there.
We're talking about America's favorite novels. Jonathan Segura is with us, executive editor of Publishers Weekly. PBS, this PBS reading project, surveyed people, came up with 100 great novels, favorite novels that people like. And it's a huge variety, as we were saying. There's Stephen King, Ayn Rand's Atlas Shrugged, Lord of the Rings, some of the great, great Russian novels. Tolstoy and Dostoevsky are on there. Moby Dick on there. Lots and lots of stuff. We want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. If we surveyed you, what would be on your list? And how do you judge what you would put on that list? We'll go to our callers now. Kayla is with us in Milwaukee. Kayla, hi.
Hey.
What novel did you want to share with us?
My absolute favorite novel is The Princess Bride by William Goldman. I've lost track of how many times I've read it, actually.
And did you read it before the movies came out, or was it you saw the movie and then went to the book? Which order did it go for you?
I saw the movie when I was a kid, and then when I was in high school, I learned that it was a book. And so then I read the book, and hands down, the book is better, although the movie is a work of art as well.
Thank you so much for sharing that. Based in when my lifespan was, Jonathan, I did it the reverse order. I read the book because there wasn't the movie yet. Is that one that either you'd put on your personal list, or at least based on what other people are reading, you can see that being on this list?
I could definitely see it being on this list. It's you know, such a, you know, the movie especially, I think, opened that book up to such a vast audience that it wouldn't have had otherwise. And, you know, it's you know, one of those books that, as the caller said, you know, you go back to and you read it over and over, and, you know, why do people do that? You know, is it because it's comforting? Is it because when you go back to it with, you know, later on in life with different experiences, the book sort of speaks to you in a different way? You know, all these are things that you know, are sort of reasons and speak to, you know, why books are as popular as they are and continue to be. And I'm rambling, so I'm going to cut myself off right here.
All right. Thanks for that call, Kayla. We'll go to Marge next in Milwaukee. Marge, hi.
Hi, how are you doing? Love it.
Good. What do you want to share with us?
The book is The Cowboy and the Cossack, like Russian Cossack. So, and the author is Claire Huffaker. And I don't think very many people have ever come across that book.
This is one I haven't heard of or read. What is it about this one that grabs you, Marge?
Oh, it's a really good read. I can see it being an excellent screenplay. It is about a group of cowboys who take a herd of longhorns across to Russia to during the revolution, when the Tsar was, when there was Tartars and Tsars, uh-huh. And it is just such a good read.
Interesting. Marge, thanks a lot. That is one that was new to me. And Johnny, yeah, if you had to winnow down a list of your own 100, what kind of criteria would you use? A great, and that sounds like a great adventure story read. How much of that would there be versus classic type stuff?
for the stuff that I, you know, for what I like to read, you know, I like, I do like a book with a plot in it. I like things to happen. You know, I mean, I'll pick up, you know, anything with Elmore Leonard's name on it. You know, but one of the things that I really like, and I find really attracted to a book the most is sort of on a line level, how the language works, how the sort of the tone, the feel of the sentences, of how the writer sort of chooses to convey their story on the most basic, you know, word level. So, you know, Elmore Leonard has a very distinctive voice. It really, he just sort of, it's very clipped and fast and funny. I really, you know, on the other end of the spectrum, I love Martin Amis as well. He's an English writer. Very, very, you know, high tenor. You know, I think line for line, you can't find a better writer working in the English language right now. And he's also super just savagely funny. And his books, you know, are often, you know, pretty dark, darkly comic, which is, you know, definitely in my wheelhouse.
Talking to Johnny Segura, executive editor of Publishers Weekly, talking about a new list of Americans' 100 favorite novels. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. What is your favorite novel? What do you love about it? Is there a book you'll always be able to go back to and reread? Do you go for the classics, new stuff, genre, important novels, however you want to define that? What makes a book, a novel, a great novel to you? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation, maybe hear from you coming up on Central Time. Right now, we're picking up the conversation about America's favorite novels. Johnny Segura is with us from Publishers Weekly, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. What is your favorite work of fiction? What makes it special to you? What kind of things do you look for? Do you go to classics, science fiction, romance, you name it? Tell us what you like in a novel. Tell us your favorite. Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We have a link there, I believe, to a new list from PBS where they surveyed people, ended up with 100 novels on that list. Let's go back to your calls now. Ed is with us in Edgerton. Ed, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What do you got for us, Ed?
I, without a doubt, my favorite novel is Watership Down by Richard Adams. It's a great quest story. It's the one with the rabbits and kind of reflects our society as a whole, I believe. And I've been reading it since junior high, and I pick it up every couple of years and reread it again. So,
thanks a lot, Ed. That is not on the 100 list. It's one I could see having ended up on it. I think that's a big one with a lot of people. Johnny, any thoughts on Watership Down?
Oh, yeah. Classic novel, widely loved. You know, it is when, you know, surprise. I mean, maybe not surprising not to see it on the list, but as you say, it definitely has all the makings of a book that would be just very well at home on this list.
Thanks a lot for the call. We go next to Erica with us in Arena. Erica, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What's your book, Erica?
My book is actually a series. It's the Bulgariad series by David Eddings.
So that's a fantasy series, right?
Yes. And I have read it probably 100 times in the last 10 years.
Wow. Like literally, that's not an exaggeration?
That's not an exaggeration. I probably read the whole series in about a week. And
okay.
I probably do it 3 or 4 times a year.
And you've based your life on its teachings at this point?
No. It's just, it speaks to me.
All right. Erica, thank you so much. And I'm going to confess something to Erica. There is a category of books, I like fantasy books, that sit on my shelves. And I always think, I'm going to read that someday. And the first book of the Bulgariad, that is one of those books. And I got to pick it up now with Erica's recommendation. Johnny, do you have that's you're at Publishers Weekly. You must have stacks and stacks of books sitting around staring at you, demanding your attention.
We do. And every day, dozens more show up. It's kind of amazing.
Yeah, are there ones that are on that I got to read this someday list? They're sitting there, and you just haven't cracked them yet.
You know, I've got. Let me just push back and look at what's on my shelf right now.
You're probably waiting.
You know, let's see. Here's a nonfiction book that probably doesn't really fit the discussion. It's a biography of Charles de Gaulle. Very exciting.
That sounds cool.
Let's see. I have probably half my shelf is. Is books that I would like to read at some point, and I won't get to. Here's one called The Mercy Seat, which is a book that I think is either just out or just about to come out from Grove. set in rural Louisiana in the 40s. It's supposed to be a very moving story. I read a review of it, and I picked it up with the intention to read it immediately, and here it is sitting on my shelf still.
You've got a lot of competition. Before we go back to our callers, I want to mention a lot of the books on this list have been adapted into film or television. We heard about Princess Bride earlier. Then there's Game of Thrones on the list, Color Purple, Charlotte's Web. Do you think that getting made into a movie or TV version gets that book more into the public eye, makes it more enduring in a way?
Oh, unquestionably. I think it opens any book to a much larger audience than it would have had before, you know, I mean, with the rare exception. You look at, like, you know, The Godfather, which is on the PBS list, you know. That was a popular book in its day. But you know, it's now a part of the American cultural firmament, you know, thanks to the film adaptations. We have, I mean, just coming up this weekend, I believe it is, Showtime's launching a new limited series adaptation of the Patrick Melrose novels by Edward St. Aubin, which is getting a lot of buzz and attention. And those were books that were, you know, fairly popular before, and I think we're going to definitely see a giant uptick in the number of people reading them after this weekend when the adaptation on Showtime premieres.
And a fun fact, I'll have to double-check this. I believe Godfather is the book that my mom was reading when she went into labor with me. So it plays an important part of my life, even though I haven't read it. back to our callers now, Teresa in Nisida. Hi.
Hi. I would choose Roots by Alex Haley.
And is that one you've gone back to and reread?
Yes, I have. I was in eighth grade, and my brother knew how much I loved to read, and he got me the book for Christmas. And from that moment on, I was just buried away until it was over. And it had kind of a powerful influence on me. And, of course, that one also became a movie. But the book itself, and the way it was written, was so beautiful and so well done that, you know, you really could be right there with what he was writing, especially the slave ships. I remember most vividly those chapters about the slave ship and what it was like on them. You know, it educated a little girl. You know, it was amazing.
Teresa, thank you so much for sharing that one. Roots, not on the list. Seems like that one could easily have been, Johnny. But I love the way she talked about images that stuck with her, you know, from reading it as a kid and then rereading it. A book that can really create that powerful, lasting image is a pretty good novel.
Oh, yeah. And that's, you know, one of the best things that you know, fiction can do, which is, you know, give you the sort of, you know, image, the feeling that, you know, you can't replicate that, you know, by watching a movie. The movie does the work for you. With fiction, you're doing the work for yourself, and some of these moments and these interactions or lines or scenes become sort of indelible in your own mind.
Teresa, thanks for sharing that with us. We'll go next to Fawn on the line in Sparta. Hi, Fawn.
Well, hi, how are you?
Good. What book do you want to share with us?
Our household favorite book is The Outsiders.
Ooh, that's a classic. I read that in junior high, I think it was. And so that's your household? Everybody in the house loves this one?
Yes. It was one of the things that we found, my husband and I, when we were dating, that we had in common. And then it was a book that, even though by the time our children were born, you know, the movie had definitely come out, but we had them read it. And I believe my daughter's read it a couple times now. My son's only read it once, but no, it's just one of those ones that you can relate to on so many different levels, you know, in society.
Fawn, thanks a lot for calling in with that one. And that's one that gets read, as I said, I read in junior high, and I have a very strong memory of our stern English teacher reading part of it out loud and crying. I won't spoil the scene, but crying when one of the main characters dies in the book and give this whole new perspective on my, I'm going to say, eighth grade English teacher. Johnny, The Outsiders is on this list. No surprise there, I'm guessing.
No, not at all. I mean, it's a book that so many people have read, largely, you know, for assigned reading. But, you know, that doesn't mean that everybody's, you know, that, it, you know, people are going to like it.
Right.
There are a lot of books that act as broccoli, you know, that they read because they must. And this is, I think, one of the books that's often part of assigned reading that sticks with people, and they come back to it later in life, as the caller was saying.
Fawn, thanks. Time for one more caller. Marty is with us in Madison. Marty, hi.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Good. What book or books do you want to share with us?
Well, I grew up on Nickelodeon back when it was owned by the BBC, and so I kind of developed a very dry British sense of humor. I'm a big science fiction fantasy fan, and I fell in love with Terry Pratchett's Discworld series many, many years ago. And my library changes every so often, but all of his books have a very special reserved spot, and I will never lose those.
Marty, thank you so much for sharing that. Terry Pratchett, Discworld. That's another one where maybe you could say it's a cult following, but it's a lot bigger than that, the very popular books. Johnny, just in our last few minutes, if a poll like this got conducted, 100 best novels, say 50 years from now, do you think a lot of the things on it would stick around, or would you expect to see a lot of change?
You know, that's a really interesting question, and I would expect to see a good amount of change. There are a ton of great books coming out or have come out in probably the last couple of years that haven't really had time to you know, sink deeply into the scene yet. I would not be surprised, you know, if you look at something like you know, Marlon James's novel, A Brief History of Seven Killings, that came out, it was a few years ago, an immensely powerful novel, kind of hits everything right. It's big.
And we'll leave it there. Jonathan Segura was with us. Thanks to him, executive editor of Publishers Weekly and author of the novel Occupational Hazards, with us to break down a new list of Americans' 100 favorite novels.